ESPN 8, The Ocho is back with wackier events from around the world. This year, we got the Air Hockey Invitational, the Grocery Baggers Bowl, the U.S. Mullet Championship, U.S. Air Guitar Championships, and the Live World Cornhole Championship. Just some of the events you will see. The Ocho, Friday midnight, goes for 24 hours on ESPN2 and the ESPN app, one app, one tap. That should be fun, and we have a great deal of fun coming your way over the next 60 minutes here as we get up with you again, as always, live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I am Greeny. We have a great crew ready to go as the NFL preseason starts tonight. The longest journey in the history of the sport begins with this single step, and that is where we are getting up in Canton, Ohio. Steelers, Cowboys, kicking it off. We've got it covered from every possible direction. And then Aaron Rodgers using a fascinating word to describe his relationship with his team. We'll tell you what that word really means for his future. And the coach of the Colts talking quarterbacks, past and present. You may not believe what he has to say. Oh, what a morning. We're getting up with you starting right now with the performance of the night, the debut of the night, Max Scherzer, his first outing as a Dodger, at home hosting the Astros. World Series preview could be top of one. Scherzer facing Michael Brantley. Oh, that's not what we had in mind. Brantley crushing that one to right. Solo shot, his seventh of the year. That silences the rowdy crowd, but not for long. Bottom of one, same score. Here's Mookie Betts. Been struggling of late, but starting to show signs like that one. That's the straightaway center. Ties the game at one. And Betts was not done. We go to the bottom of the second. The Dodgers have been rallying. It's 4-1. And the second verse, same as the first. This one high, deep, and gone to left. Another solo shot. Second of the night, 17th of the year for Betts. Dodgers lead at 5-1. And then Scherzer settling in, facing Jose Altuve in the fifth. He's public enemy number one in L.A. Oh, and the fans love this. He strikes him out three times in the game last night. Third pitcher ever to do that to Altuve. Top of seven, Scherzer still in there. 103 pitches facing Jason Castro. That's nine strikeouts on the night for Scherzer. Crowd wants to see one more, and they get it. Chaz McCormick goes down. Scherzer, 10 Ks, seven innings, two earned runs, and one curtain call as the Dodgers win it by a final score of 7-5. As we get up and go around the world of sports last night, beginning with Showtime. Shohei Ohtani on the mound facing the Rangers. Struck out six in six. Gave up just one earned run. Angels take it 2-1. Ohtani is now 6-1 on the season. Since July 1st, he has a 1.38 ERA. That is the lowest among all starting pitchers. In Tokyo, after being down 15 in the first half to Australia, Team USA came roaring back to win 97-78. Kevin Durant led the way with 23, Devin Booker 20. Team USA will play for the gold Friday night against France, who beat Luka Doncic and Slovenia. Meanwhile, the U.S. and Australia also facing off in soccer. Bronze medal game this morning, and what a game it was for Megan Rapinoe and Carly Lloyd, each scoring twice as Team USA held off the Aussies 4-3 for their first Olympic medal since 2012. And then news from Woj this morning, who tweets that Julius Randle has agreed to a four-year contract extension with the Knicks worth $117 million. Randle still has 1 year left on his current deal, but a busy week for the Knicks. They re-signed Derrick Rose, they signed Evan Fournier, and they will soon sign Kemba Walker. And then there's this. Football finally back tonight. Cowboys, Steelers kicking off the NFL preseason, 8 Eastern, in the Hall of Fame game from Canton. Pittsburgh currently favored by 2 over the Cowboys, and the longest NFL season in history begins with this step tonight. Steelers looking to get back to the playoffs after starting the season 11-0 last year. They finished with just one win the rest of the way and lost to the Browns in the wild card round. Cowboys, meanwhile, looking to bounce back after a season in which they lost Dak Prescott to an ankle injury in week 5. Prescott strained his shoulder last week. He won't play tonight. And I want to pick it up there because, as we talked about this earlier in the program this morning, we did not have time to get more into the situation with Dak. Shefty, let's catch everyone up. This is something that last week, Dominique Foxworth said, oh, it's not going to be a big deal. If he's not throwing by next week, then check back with me. Well, here we are. It's at the end of this week, and he's still not throwing. So, Shefty, is this a big deal?
Well, it's not a big deal, Greeny, but it's a concern. Dak Prescott is a quarterback. Quarterbacks use their arms. Dak Prescott's arm and shoulder is not right now. Now, if you talk to people within the organization. They're not concerned about it. If this were September 5th and not August 5th, yes, they might be a little bit more concerned. But being that it's August 5th and not September 5th, they can afford to rest him. It's an extra preseason game that other teams don't even have because it's a Hall of Fame game. Dak Prescott wouldn't have played in this game to begin with, even if he were entirely healthy. They're going to be very smart about that. And so they're giving him the time off that he needs right now to rest that shoulder, knowing that it's a long season, knowing that he's going to be making a lot of throws in practice. They don't want to push it. There's no reason to push it. And so Garrett Gilbert will start tonight, and Dak Prescott didn't even make the trip to Canton, Ohio.
To be fair, this is a game that Prescott probably would not have played in under any circumstances, and Ben won't play tonight either. But, Sacha, when will this be something that is on your radar? Give me a time when, if this continues, you will start getting concerned.
Well, I'm thinking by Monday or Tuesday of next week. We already know that Dak is going to sit and rest until early next week, which should be Monday. There's a game today. He's not traveling. He's rehabbing, which is perfect. He doesn't need to be on the plane. Get your body right. But come Monday, come Tuesday, right? Hall of Fame game is out of the way. Now we're on preseason games 1, 2, and 3 officially. If you're not practicing early next week, I am a little bit more concerned. Shefty, you made a great point. It's your arm and you're a quarterback. You have to use it. I love the fact that Dallas is being cautious and being patient, but come middle of next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he's not practicing, I get a little bit concerned.
Yeah, Orlovsky made the point at the beginning of this week with us here. The one thing a quarterback never gets the opportunity to do once we get to the start of the season is rest that arm. So they're going to do it now and hope it isn't a problem. That said, that's one quarterback situation. Lewis, I want to dive into another one because there's so much talk here about Ben Roethlisberger continuing to play at 39. What is their succession plan? What are they going to do in Pittsburgh about the quarterback of the future? And maybe, just maybe, that answer is on their roster.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, the talk surrounding Dwayne Haskins is always going to be very polarized as far as people who believe that he transcended whatever dysfunction was going on in Washington and that he is solely to blame for his career not taking off at this point. And then there's going to be people who say, look, no one could have succeeded in Washington given the fact that as a young man coming into the league with really one season of being the starter at Ohio State and then coming in knowing that the head coach was at odds with the owner who was at odds with the general manager. I mean, all these people who were just fighting about whether or not Dwayne should be on that football team, how could you possibly succeed? Well, you take that and you juxtapose it with what's going on in Pittsburgh, where Kevin Colbert, the GM, is behind him. Mike Tomlin, the head coach, is behind him. And they are doing everything to basically try and build this young man back up from the ground up as far as make good decisions off the football field, make good decisions on the field. Watch Ben Roethlisberger. Understand how we do it the Pittsburgh way here and surround him with that kind of structure, instruction, confidence, professionalism that all young quarterbacks need. They're betting on the fact that for $850,000 on a one-year contract, maybe we've got something here. He was the 15th pick overall the first round. He is only 24 years old. Yes, he's made some stupid decisions, but he's 24. He was the 15th pick of the first round. Many people in Pittsburgh say he can throw the football like no one they've ever seen. Alex Smith said he has as much natural arm throwing, arm talent ability as anyone he's ever seen. That deserves taking a chance on and seeing if your structure, the way you do things as an organization can fix that and get it on the right track. That's what Mike Tomlin's betting on. That's what Kevin Colbert's betting on. That's what Mr. Rooney's betting on. That's what I'm waiting to see tonight and see if it is on the right track.
Yeah, we will see him tonight. And again, he was in as Bowden's unstable a situation in Washington, not making excuses, but that's what it was when he got there as you could be in. The Steelers are the most stable franchise maybe in all of American sports. So let's see if he winds up rehabilitating everything. He'll get his first chance at it at some point tonight. Meantime, talk about an entirely different quarterback situation, and that's the one in Green Bay. Yesterday, Aaron Rodgers meeting with the media. Everyone wants to hear. We saw you in a little conversation with the GM, Brian Gutekunst. Everyone wants to know what that was all about. Here's what Rodgers said.
Well, I think it's a work in progress, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, relationships aren't formed in a matter of a couple days. There's time where the respect grows and the communication follows. You know, I think the greatest relationships that you have, you know, with your friends and loved ones involve conversations that flow. That's all about wanting to have those conversations. And, you know, we've had a couple conversations and been positive conversations.
It's interesting because he's talking about Brian Gutekunst as though he's someone he just met, when actually they've been working in the same organization for a very long time. That said, Shefty, you have been on top of this literally from the moment that it began. What are we hearing out of Green Bay now?
Look, it's a work in progress. The fact of the matter is they have a vested interest in the Green Bay Packers winning this season. And so they're trying to get through this year. Look, everybody knows Aaron Rodgers has set up his contract this year to have the freedom to be able to decide where he wants to go next year. Just follow the money, look at the contract, look at the cap numbers. He'll have that ability to sit down with Green Bay after this year. If he wants to stay in Green Bay after the season, he'll have the ability to do that. If he wants to retire, he can do that. And if he wants to be traded, he can dictate to the organization that he wants out, because the circumstances after this season will be much simpler to get a trade done than they were going into this season, which is one of the main reasons that Aaron Rodgers reported to camp last week.
So, Lewis, what is your sense of this? Because it remains, I guess, the most important story in the entire National Football League this year and going into next year. When you hear him say, it's a work in progress, what does that mean?
I think he's just kind of like trying to string that conversation along in such a way that it doesn't become a negative distraction and a drag on the team. He knows it's never going to – well, I shouldn't say he knows, because I'm not Aaron Rodgers. I get the sense that he understands that it's probably never going to be what ideally he would like it to be in terms of his definition of what relationships look like. But he also knows this. I'm a highly paid professional who wants to win at the highest level. I want to win a Super Bowl. We have a real good team. I like my coach. I like the players here. Brian Gutekunst knows the same thing, that's what he's there for, to build a winning football team. Green Bay comes with realistically high expectations every year, and I think they're going to try and meet those. So they're trying to just kind of nurse this thing along to the finish line, and then more than likely go their separate ways. So what good does it do to sit and continue to have an antagonistic relationship play itself out in front of the media, to where we're constantly just going, man, these guys hate each other? Although probably in reality, if they had their choices, I don't think they'd be dialing anybody, each other up anytime soon.
And we'll see. Maybe next year is the time they have that choice. Meanwhile, Sacho, we didn't have time to get into it, but you were telling us about your dad and the way he might have approached this. I'm fascinated to hear it.
Absolutely. Well, my dad's a psychologist. And, you know, when it comes to relationships, he's also I've been married for 30-something years, has four kids. He loves conflict as well. He understands that if you want to build a relationship, you have to work through conflict. You can't have an argument and then walk away from the table and never come back. Any real relationship has to pass through conflict. I remember a time we had a family discussion and I was super upset about something. He said, hey, dude, we're family. This is what we do. We talk, we fight, we argue, we come back to the table. I think Aaron Rodgers is wise in having a conversation with Brian Gutekunst. Why? Because he's still going to have some say in the roster this year. He's still going to have some say in who makes the team this year. He's still going to have some say in what free agents are or are not brought in this year. So it's wise for Aaron Rodgers to continue these discussions rather than just be upset, say his piece, and walk away from the table.
I think that's fair. And it's a good lesson for everyone to hear. That said, I still think he'll be in Denver next year. Okay, next topic. Let's get to a different quarterback situation, and that's Indy, where it's been just a terrible week in every possible way. You got Carson Wentz. You got the star guard, Quentin Nelson, both out 5 to 12 weeks with the same foot injury. Here's the Colts coach, Frank Reich, talking about Nick Foles and the possibilities with him.
This is Carson's team, first of all. I mean, you know, he's our quarterback, and we're so excited about having him, and he knows that. This team knows that. When we brought him here for one reason. It wasn't to, he's going to compete, but it wasn't for the, he's going to come in here and lead this football team. I love Nick Foles. I mean, he plays for the Chicago Bears, and haven't talked to him, but I think he's a great player. I think he's proven that. There's nothing about Nick Foles I don't like. I think he's a winner. He's certainly a guy that fits our kind of culture, but he plays for the Chicago Bears.
There's nothing about him I don't like. He's a kind of guy who fits our culture. I mean, Shefty, those were very interesting things for Frank Reich to choose to say yesterday. How should we be interpreting them?
Well, this week, Nick Foles and Frank Reich have been speaking through the media rather than speaking to each other, professing their love and how much admiration and respect they have for one another. But the fact of the matter, Greeny, is that right now the Colts are not thinking like that despite their public proclamations of their love for Nick Foles. Because right now, I think they believe it's more important to send a message to Carson Wentz that you're our guy. We believe in you. We don't want anybody else. And we are going to be here while you recover from your foot surgery, and we're going to give you the time that you need to make it back to be our quarterback. And that's exactly how they're planning and operating right now. They're not going to make any decisions until they see how Carson Wentz is coming along after 2 weeks from the time that he had the surgery. And they're optimistic that he'll be back sooner and closer to the 5 weeks than the 12 weeks. And they're not going to trade for a quarterback in the interim. They're going to continue to go along with their young quarterbacks, Jacob Eason, Sam Ehlinger, and see how they perform with Carson Wentz out. And so far, they like those guys. So even though they love Nick Foles, and even though people are wondering if they'll trade for Nick Foles, they are not thinking right now that they are going to trade for Nick Foles. Now, that could change later this summer if Carson's rehab is slowly coming along and the young quarterbacks are struggling in camp. But right now, they feel like they're going to stand pat and not make a move at the quarterback position.
Okay, so, Sacho, let's go back to your dad here. Because the objective of bringing Carson Wentz to Indianapolis and reuniting him with Frank Reich was to rebuild him. Not to rebuild him physically, but to rebuild him psychologically. And when they made that move, if we had said, what's the last thing on earth you would ever consider doing? We would have laughingly said, well, you could sign Nick Foles. So that strikes me as though that remains the case. What do you think of that, Sacho?
Oh, I 100% agree. And I think Frank Reich knows that. I think Frank Reich knows that the last thing for Carson Wentz's benefit, the last thing for the Colts' benefit, is to bring in Nick Foles. Going back to the psychological mindset, or even this, the relationship mindset, building up, saying that Carson Wentz is your guy, saying that this is his team, it builds his confidence. And that's not to say that he's not a strong, confident guy. No, anyone wants, like when I played football, I wanted a coach who believed in me. And you know what? When my coach believed in me, I played at a much higher level than when I had a coach who didn't believe in me. So it's oftentimes about, you people often say nature versus nurture. It's about your environment. What are you being grown up into? I think this is a perfect situation for Carson Wentz. I love the fact that they are waiting. People talk about how patience is a virtue. They need to wait, see what happens. And you also have Phillip Rivers waiting in the wings if you need a backup plan if this injury is longer than you expect. So fair patience, enough. Wait. I think they'll be fine.
Right. But Lewis, with regard to the Foles of it all, like we all know, like actions speak a lot louder than words. So they can say, oh, we love Carson. He's our guy. It's his franchise. The action of bringing in Nick Foles, I think, would counteract all of that, to say the least. What do you think, Lewis?
Yeah, it would. It would. I think it could cause this whole transaction as far as, you know, having Carson Wentz there, rebuilding him, getting him to play back to an MVP potential level. I think all that stuff could just basically fall apart, and they know that. And honestly, you know what? That's a tough situation to be in as a GM who is really charged with being, you know, trying to take advantage of what they believe to be a championship level roster, but you're having to jump through all these hoops for your quarterback who you knew all this stuff going in. But now that, you know, the worst case scenario has come to fruition, he got hurt. And now we really didn't really, like, manufacture the quarterback room the way we should have, which was have someone behind him who has some veteran experience, given the fact that this is a guy who's probably going to miss some time based on his track record. But I couldn't do that because I need to make sure he feels confident and feels loved and feels secure. Although in Philadelphia, they did the same things for him. And how did that turn out? They coddled him in Philadelphia, too. How did that turn out? Okay, so you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place right now. You have to see this through, and hopefully he gets back. Because you know this. If we go with the nuclear option, so to speak, it could just unravel everything as far as bringing in a guy like Nick Foles.
That's such a good point. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, I would just push back on the coddling piece, only because as a player, you don't want to be coddled. You want a coach who believes in you. And so Frank Reich believes in Carson Wentz. Philadelphia, maybe they did, maybe they didn't from a culture perspective. But you want a coach who believes. That's all I'm saying.
Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, they believed in him in Philly. They believed in him in Philly. There's no question about that. They did everything they could to make sure that he felt that he had what he needed in order to go out there and really try to perform. At some point in time, and believe me, I'm one of those people who does believe that your environment and your surroundings really do help you play at a higher level. So I believe that wholeheartedly, and I've lived through that. But also, at some point in time, it's about you and your ability at the highest level to go ahead and say, look, it's now on me. And we're going to wind up seeing whether or not, you know, what takes place here in Indianapolis, because this is fascinating. This is absolutely fascinating from a team building perspective.
I completely agree. Shefty, final word.
I want to hear what Dr. Acho says about this particular situation in Indianapolis. And I think we should have Dr. Acho on a panel of guests here to discuss and analyze some of the thinking and psyches behind some of these players and relationships.
Well, we've had Ask Acho. Now we have Ask Sacho for Sam Acho. We could do Ask Dracho with Dr. Acho if we wanted to. Let's get a hashtag going. Come on, let's get that thing trending.
We can make it happen. We can make it happen.
We'll see. We'll make next week. We'll see if we can't make that happen. Anyway, as we continue on a very busy morning, the Ravens are waiting for Lamar Jackson to return to camp. What will it take for him to return to MVP form? And is Trey Lance closing in on the starting job in San Francisco? Wait till you hear what one of his coaches had to say about his performance so far. You will next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Hey, we're back. And Sacho, yesterday on Planet Earth, Jameis Winston was doing this, you know, drill with these tackling markers, and he seems to be having a little bit of trouble. What are you seeing there?
Hey, that's hilarious. So I've been through those things before. They're actually super hard to get through. Now, I hope I wouldn't be rumbling and stumbling and bumbling like Jameis, but those things are hard. I mean, I suggest some one of us try to run through those. You wouldn't even make it through.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the one of us who's going to try it is definitely not going to be me. Meanwhile, as we continue in a moment, we will tell you why what we have heard about Justin Fields couldn't be farther from the truth. Lewis has a lot to say about that. And then, Sacho, let's see if you have a lot to say about this from Sneaky Hembo. Which quarterback has rushed for the most touchdowns over the last 2 seasons? That's the question. The answer is next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we are back, and here we go, Sacho. The pressure is on you. Which quarterback has rushed for the most touchdowns over the last 2 seasons?
Josh Allen. Hembo, you be playing games. I know it's Josh Allen. Give me Josh Allen. Come on, come on.
That is correct. It's not. See, that's why it is so sneaky, because everyone assumes it's Lamar Jackson, and we're about to talk about Lamar Jackson. He's actually third behind Josh Allen and Kyler Murray. That is well played by Sacho. Now, Lamar obviously was the MVP in 2019. Last year, the offense took a bit of a step backward. despite advancing in the playoffs for the first time in the Lamar Jackson era. His offensive coordinator says he's going to catch up now on a new offense.
First game's not till somewhere September something. Yeah, we got some time, and I think we got enough time. So big thing is get him healthy and get him right and make sure he's in a good place.
Again, he is coming back. He tested positive for COVID, so he's missed some time here. He will now be back, and they're saying that they're going to do this a little bit differently this year. They've added some weapons on the offensive side, Lewis. What do you expect this unique offense with that coordinator, Greg Roman, to look like with Lamar Jackson under center this year?
Yeah, I think ideally they want to be in a position where Greeny, they can throw it when they have to, meaning when they get behind and maybe they're in a shootout and they need to put the ball in the air because they need a quick strike type of offense. So I think they want to ideally be a team that can throw it when they have to and then run it whenever they want to, which they have shown throughout Lamar's tenure there that they can do that. They can run it when they want and they can run it against just about any front you put up there against them because this offense is unique. It has unique players and it has a unique weapon at quarterback and in you know, in particular now, I think at running back, J.K. Dobbins this year, I think, is just going to absolutely explode, ignite, whatever word you want to use. He's just going to go crazy on the league because this young man is just, he's like dynamite at running back. So I think that's what ideally they want to be, a team that doesn't get put into a box or that you can't put them into a box in terms of, you know, making them one-dimensional. I think they're going to want to be a team that can just have the game be dictated by whatever is needed from them. And with the receivers that they've got and what people have said about how those receivers have looked when they've been on the practice field, I think they're well on their way to being that multiple type of offense that can dictate to you instead of you dictating to them.
Rashad Bateman, they drafted in the first round. Sammy Watkins, they bring in there. Among some of the new weapons that we're talking about, Sacho, can Lamar Jackson return to MVP form this season?
Absolutely. I believe that Lamar Jackson's going to be an MVP candidate this season. I think we're going to see 2019 Lamar Jackson. Let's not forget, he didn't have an offseason last year. This offense is one of the most complicated offenses in the NFL. There's a lot of action. There's a lot of reads that Lamar Jackson has to make. He didn't have an offseason last year. And yes, I understand he's missing a little time right now because of COVID. But give him 4 or 5 weeks to kind of relearn the offense and go to the new iterations of this offense. I think you're going to see him return to form, not to mention the new weapons they have on the outside that they got in the draft and in free agency. Lamar Jackson, I think, is going to shine this year with a full offseason to get better.
Quickly, Lewis, it's a fascinating division. Pittsburgh has run it for a really long time with the Ravens next door, and here come the Browns now. Do you favor the Ravens right now as you look at that division? Do the Ravens feel like the team to beat to you?
Yeah, I think they still are. Look, Cleveland's right there. They're nipping on their heels. But look, I like the overall Ravens organization. I like how strong they are down the middle of this football team. I am a big fan, as many people are, of Wink Martindale and what he really presents to offenses in terms of complexity, in terms of just different looks he can give. And they have the best secondary in the NFL. So, look, I think there's a lot of things working in their favor that they still win one of the best divisions in all of football.
Interesting. Sacho, earlier today, we asked you for your top five defenses in the league. You put Baltimore number one. So that defense, Lamar Jackson, could be a very interesting year in Baltimore. Speaking of interesting, let's go to another quarterback situation. This is the one in Chicago, a team that's generated a lot of excitement since they made the aggressive move in the draft to go up and get Justin Fields from Ohio State. And the big question there is, when will we see him on the field? Meanwhile, Lewis Riddick's tweet over the weekend captured a lot of attention. We've talked about it a good deal here. When Lewis tweeted, "Not going to say how crazy good some of the things I've been told about Justin Fields, the professional, have been thus far. I don't want to hear the it's only training camp brigade puff up their chest and scream at the top of their lungs, but it's been that good, just saying." So, Lewis, as you're aware, that got a lot of attention, and I'd like to get your perspective on that because you and I did the draft together.
Yeah.
We both heard all the stuff that they were saying about him in that process leading up to it. It sounds like you're suggesting that he is proving a lot of that wrong.
Yeah. Look, from day one that they've got him in there, I think from a football and personal character standpoint, he has blown their minds as far as One, his football intellect, which they never were down on in the first place, but it is just now that they're seeing it firsthand, they're even more amazed at just how quickly this guy is learning their offense, understanding the nuance of it, not just of what he needs to do, but obviously what everyone else needs to do. His dedication to the craft itself, eliminating distractions, making sure it's all football all the time. When he gets in there, the professionalism, the smoothness with which he navigates the building, the players, the locker room, the deference and the respect that he shows Andy Dalton as far as, look, I understand you're a guy who's played a long time in this league. I understand also I've been brought in here to be the future, maybe even the present, but I'm not going to step on your toes. I'm going to learn from you, show you the respect that you deserve. And then every day, the continuous incremental improvement on the football field as far as being able to process quickly, get through reads quickly, get the ball where it needs to be. When he's made mistakes, learn from them, not repeating them. And then when he just has been able to just flat out go out there and show that wonderful athletic ability, I mean, people's jaws are just hitting the floor. So now it's just a matter of how long do they wait to put him in there? Can Matt Nagy, the head coach, afford to be patient like he has wanted to be with him when this kid is just blowing his mind every day? That's going to be the great question.
Well, Sacha, you played in Chicago fairly recently. You played for Matt Nagy. And sometimes I think people talk about the Bears like they were a terrible team last year, like they were the Jaguars or the Jets. The Bears made the playoffs last year. So I would ask you, who do you think gives them the better chance to make the playoffs this season, Dalton or Fields?
I think it's both. And let me explain. I think Andy Dalton needs to start the season. And then in week 10, when the Chicago Bears have their bye week, you can reevaluate. If Andy Dalton's not giving you what you want through those first 9 weeks, in week 10, take that bye week, reevaluate, and then bring in Justin Fields to finish off the rest of the way. I think Andy Dalton's a phenomenal quarterback. Cincinnati wasn't the best situation for him, and neither was Dallas last year after a few injuries. But I think Andy Dalton needs to start the season. Justin Fields needs to sit and to watch and to learn. And then when it's his time, at the earliest, the halfway point, when that bye week comes, he can come in. But even if it's later than that, I'm okay with Andy Dalton leading this team. They have a new defensive coordinator, Sean Desai, coming back to revamp this defense. You've got weapons on offense, Marquise Goodwin, et cetera, et cetera. You have speed on offense. So Andy Dalton needs to start it and then let Justin Fields come in and finish it.
Is your gut, really quickly, Lewis, is your gut that it takes that long? He's talking about mid-season, week 10. Do you think it will take that long before we see Fields out there?
No, I personally don't. And look, I understand what Matt wants. I understand what he was privy to in Kansas City with Patrick and Alex Smith and how that played out. But I think the dynamics are different here in Chicago. I think the urgency is different here in Chicago. And I think they need him more so in Chicago to be on the field than what Kansas City needed Patrick to play when he was a rookie.
I'm with that. Okay, we will keep a close eye on that situation in Chicago. Meanwhile, we hope that you'll keep a close eye on UFC 265 Saturday night. Great fight. Derek Lewis and Cyril Gane squaring off for the interim heavyweight championship. The main card starts at 10 Eastern on pay-per-view. You can order in English or Spanish by going to ESPNplus.com/PPV. Prelim start at 8 Eastern on ESPN2, ESPN+. And ESPN Deportes. Coming up is Trey Lance closing in on the starting job in San Francisco. Wait till you hear what one of his coaches had to say about what he's done in camp so far. You will hear it next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
I was going to give him a pass because he don't even know how dumb that was. You were the number one overall pick in the draft. Well, if somebody has to go, it's going to be you.
Wait, no, let me finish.
With that comes the expectation that you're going to have a QBR better than five.
Get that, hold on. I'm not even listening.
I anticipate this getting ugly.
Oh, it's been too long since we've done the Chronicles of Riddick. Lewis has a variety of insight that he will share with us here. And I want to start in Indianapolis. Lewis, what should have been done with the quarterback situation before this offseason problem even took place?
Yeah, I think, you know, Chris Ballard, the GM of the Colts, was in a tough position. I think what should have been done, obviously, was taking into account what Carson's track record is in terms of his durability and thus his availability. And we know that it's not what you ideally want it to be. So maybe you needed some more of a veteran presence other than Jacob Eason in your quarterback room. But look, he wanted to make sure that Carson felt secure, felt confident, felt that they really were behind him 100% and didn't want him having anyone in the room that would kind of threaten that kind of feeling in Carson. So he didn't go that route. Now there may be a question about it.
It's complicated. Meanwhile, let's go to Kansas City. What's the story with the offensive line?
Yeah, it has looked spectacular, Greeny. And I'll tell you this, their sixth-round pick, Trey Smith, out of Tennessee, who right now is starting at right guard for them in training camp, has been the talk of training camp down there. Mm. They think they got a first-round value out of someone who they got in the sixth round, who they think they just stole out of from everyone in this draft. And if this offensive line, in fact, turns out to be the strength of this football team, look out for the Chiefs this year.
Absolutely. And then let's go to San Francisco. What's the latest on that quarterback battle?
Yeah, I think Kyle Shanahan has let it be known all along this offseason that this really wasn't a competition, that this was Jimmy Garoppolo's job, and that he was only going to lose it, really, if something, you know, unforeseen happened, like Jimmy either played just drastically bad or unfortunately had some kind of injury to where his availability came into question again. But I think with the way Trey is playing now and the improvements that he is making and some of the comments that are coming out of training camp, he may be in that same kind of position that really Matt Nagy is in Chicago as well, which is, do we really just want to keep sitting and waiting when this young man is showing that he's ready to lead this football team and help us win games? It's a great problem to have, and I think it just bodes well for the quarterback position for the future, how all these young guys are impressing their respective franchises.
Well, it's a really important point, and that's such an interesting team in so many ways. I want you to hear the offensive coordinator there in San Francisco. This is Mike McDaniel, who had this to say about his early impressions of Trey Lance.
There is an element of confidence that is unique. I wouldn't say he's loud or boisterous. He has a confident swag that I think really appeals to players. And he's getting to the point where he can correct other players, which from a coach's perspective is all you're looking for. You want a coach on the field. So he's been very good with that. And I think a lot of the guys respond to that.
That's interesting. I mean, he's correcting other players on the field. A rookie in his first training camp, Lewis, who, as we all know, only played one game last year in college because of COVID and the circumstances that went there. So, Shefty, let me come to you, because that's a team thinking Super Bowl thoughts. What are you hearing about the quarterback battle in San Francisco?
Well, first off, I think they believe that Jimmy Garoppolo is playing very strong football through training camp. But when you listen to some of the comments that people have made about Trey Lance, so far, he has been exactly what they had hoped he would be. You heard Lewis talking about Justin Fields, and it certainly sounds like the 49ers feel the same way about Trey Lance. And when we go back to the decision of them to turn and make a shift and go to Trey Lance in the end, I think one of the things that drew them to him were his leadership qualities, were his intelligence, were the way his teammates responded to him. The more work they did into him, the more they realized that this guy was beloved and respected amongst his teammates. And there were certain intangibles, I think, that separated him in the end, that elevated him, that enabled him to become the third-round draft pick. And when San Francisco traded up, they traded up with the idea that they could do a deep dive into all these quarterbacks and have access that other teams couldn't. And during that deep dive, they came up with all this stuff on Trey Lance that was off the charts. And that was one of the reasons they selected him. And so far, that has been evident in training camp and the way people have spoken about him.
So, Satchel, let me come to you. You were the one in Chicago. You're preaching patience. Go with Andy Dalton. Go with the entrenched veteran. How about in San Francisco?
Yeah, I'm preaching patience again. My message doesn't change. I think that San Francisco needs to be patient. I think Jimmy G has proven that when he's healthy, he can lead this team to the Super Bowl. So I think that I think that they need to be patient, but I also think that Trey Lance is waiting in the wings. Like Lewis said, it's similar to Chicago. You have this guy who you believe is ready and you believe can shine, but at the same time, you don't want to put him out there too early. Oftentimes as a player, if you get out there too early, it can mess with your psyche, it can mess with your confidence. But if you do, like we saw with Patrick Mahomes, you sit for a year, you get a little bit of shine at the very end, then you sit and watch and wait. Then you can have a chance to really have an extended career with higher confidence. So I think that San Francisco needs to start Jimmy G, needs to wait, and then if an opportunity presents itself, you can put Trey Lance in there for now and also for the future.
Well, the thing that's interesting about this, Lewis, for a final thought, is that, again, this is a team, if they stay healthy, that I think is thinking about a deep playoff run, and that has to factor into this and their thinking somewhere along the line, Lewis, yes?
Yeah, no question about that. And like everyone knows that Jimmy, when he's healthy, can play high-level football, very efficient type of football. Trey obviously takes their game to a whole new level. So I think this situation is much more similar to what Kansas City had with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes than maybe even they with the situation that they have in Chicago, because this is a football team that's going to contend. The defense is going to be good. The running game is going to be strong. From what I hear, Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel look spectacular. George Kittle's one of the best in the NFL at tight end. So they have all the pieces in place to make a run. Trey's kind of like the cherry on top. But if he winds up being better, or if Jimmy slips at all, or if he's not available, I mean, they will have no reservations putting him in there. And then who knows? Who knows what kind of levels he can take this offense to and this team overall?
To that point, injury has always been a question mark with Jimmy G. Shefty, final word.
Well, we go back to what Kyle Shanahan said earlier this week. He didn't envision a scenario in which Trey Lance would be starting on opening day. And so that's how he feels at the outset of camp. But I would just say we haven't played a preseason game yet. We haven't seen how Trey Lance would perform. And back in the day, Seattle thought Matt Flynn, the guy that they signed during the offseason, was going to be their starting quarterback until they saw Russell Wilson in the preseason. And then they knew they couldn't hold off Russell Wilson any longer. Let's see what happens this preseason. But right now, their plan is to have Jimmy Garoppolo as the opening day starter.
All right, that's one of the most interesting storylines of the entire NFL preseason. Meanwhile, you're looking for baseball tonight. We're the place to find it. Series finale between the Braves and the Cardinals. That's 8 Eastern on ESPN and the app, one tap. First Take is right around the corner here on ESPN. Are the Packers the biggest threat to the Bucks? And will LeBron and the Lakers win it all this coming year? First Take follows us on ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Get Up is brought to you by ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, fun coming this weekend. ESPN 8, The Ocho, back with even wackier events from around the world. This year's Air Hockey Invitational, Grocery Baggers Bowl, U.S. Mullet Championship, U.S. Air Guitar Championships, and the Live World Cornhole Championship are just some of the events you will see. The Ocho starts Friday at midnight, goes 24 hours on ESPN 2 and the app, one tap. Let's finish up where we started. Tonight, the longest journey in NFL history begins with a longer season than ever before on the Hall of Fame game tonight. Dak Prescott's Cowboys, Ben Roethlisberger's Steelers. We won't see either of those two quarterbacks, but it should be an interesting night. So let's finish up with a question. Sam Acho, which of these two teams, in your opinion, is likelier to make the playoffs, the Cowboys or the Steelers?
Pittsburgh Steelers. Here's why. You got a top three defense, number one. You've got a coach who everyone believes in, Mike Tomlin, number two, and also a healthy Big Ben. I'm going Pittsburgh.
Okay, I like it. Lewis Riddick, how about you?
Yeah, the city of Pittsburgh, you know I love you, but you can be mad at me for this one. I'm going to go with the Cowboys simply because I think that the NFC East obviously is a much less stacked division than the North is in the AFC. I think if Dak is able to, in fact, come back and be healthy, and he can play a full season, The offensive line can stay healthy. Tyron Smith can stay healthy. Zach Martin can stay healthy. Lyle Collins can stay healthy. Ezekiel Elliott plays to his potential. CeeDee Lamb stays healthy. Amari Cooper. I think they will put up a lot of points. I think defensively, look, Dan Quinn, you're brought in for a reason. Micah Parsons, you were drafted for a reason. Marcus Lawrence, you have to play, you know, up to your potential as a pass rusher. Trayvon Diggs, you have to be a stud, an absolute stud, shut down number one corner. I know that's a lot of what these guys have to do, but I think they're capable of doing it. We'll see if whether or not they can all stay on the field and get it done, but I think they have a better shot because of who they're going up against relative to what Pittsburgh is going up against.
Go ahead, Sancho.
Hey, Lewis, that's a lot of ifs. That's a lot of if this happens, and if that happens, and maybe this, and maybe that. So you can go ahead. We can change the graphic, Lewis. You can go ahead and change your pick. It's all good. We understand that the NFC is weaker, but go ahead and change it, man. We'll be all good. Clean sweep.
Pittsburgh, I love you, Pittsburgh. You know that. Mike T, you know I love you, but I'm going to go with Dallas on this one.
I'm actually taking the Steelers, and Shefty, you're the reason why. Because you were the first one, and not the only one to this point, but you came on the show and you said, everyone in the league is a lot higher on the Steelers than the media is. The media has already written the autopsy on the Steelers and on Roethlisberger and all the rest of that. And you keep telling me the league doesn't see it that way, Shefty, and that has influenced my thinking.
Well, listen, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers, the defense should be back. Devin Bush should be better. The defense at 1 year last year was very strong, and they were the last unbeaten team in the league last year. I think they're looking to get back to that. And Greeny, there is one other story I do want to get out in front of right now, be ahead of it so that we could bring it up. You should be aware of this for tomorrow. Tomorrow's your birthday, so just get ready for a big day tomorrow, okay? And I wanted to make sure everybody's out in front on Greeny's birthday tomorrow.
Thank you very much. One shopping day remains until my birthday. I have made a career of saying that the whole idea that it's better to give than receive is nonsense. And thus, I am looking forward to receiving gifts tomorrow. And if, in fact, Lewis, you are one who enjoys giving gifts more than receiving, then we'll both be happy. It's a win-win.
What's your Cash App? Tell the world your Cash App, and they'll send you some money. Tell the world.
I would if I even knew what that meant. Outstanding, guys. Thank you so very much. I appreciate it. We will see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.